On recent Sunday evenings, we've been taking a look at various major world religions. And I admit to you that Shintoism is not a world religion in the same magnitude of those like Islam and Hinduism and Christianity. In fact, the census people for world religions have specified the number of Shintoists as only 3,426,990 worldwide, almost all of them in the country of Japan. Now, as we shall soon see, Shintoism is not an evangelistic religion. In fact, in all probability, it would be an almost impossible thing for Shintoism to be evangelistic. Westerners, people from other countries of the world, would not and probably could not become Shintoists even if they wanted to. And yet, Shintoism has had a huge impact upon our country and upon our relationships within the world as Americans. Because Shintoism is basic to, well, the Japanese view and aggression in World War II and what Japan was all about in that war. It relates to Japanese business practices in the world today and Japanese products, often the superiority of Japanese practices and products. It relates to what's happening in the news and is frequently in the news this week as Emperor Hirohito has moved towards death as he suffers from stomach cancer and internal bleeding as people by the thousands come to the Imperial Palace in Tokyo and their signed guest books. It's the marking of the end of an era and also the end of the life of a man who was born in 1901 but who ascended to the throne as the Emperor of Japan on Christmas Day on December 25th in 1926. And so for nearly 62 years has been the reigning monarch of Japan, and at the end of his life marks a longevity that indicates that he is the longest ruling monarch in the world today. Shintoism has a special interest to us because as Americans we are closely tied to Japan as an ally, closely tied in terms of economics, and as Christians, and particularly at Wooddale Church, we have had a great deal of interest in taking the gospel to a country that has comparatively few, only about 1% or so of the population that could in any way be defined as Christian. Historically, Shintoism, which seems somewhat strange to us as Christians and Westerners, Shintoism has no founder, has no specific beginning date, has no system of doctrine that could be called anything like a creed. Shintoism has no inspired scriptures, at least not in the same sense that there is the Quran of Islam or the Bible of Judaism and Christianity. To understand historically what Shintoism is all about relates to the Japanese name for their country. For the word is not Japan, but the word is Nippon, and you have often seen that on the sides of an airplane or on the products that come from the country of Japan. Nippon means sun origin. And so you have the sun in the center of the Japanese flag. All that has to do with the Shintoist belief that the goddess, the sun goddess, Amaterasu, sent her son, Ninigi, who became the emperor or the ruler of Japan. He, in turn, had a whole long line of descendants, century after century, that eventually resulted in the birth of Emperor Hirohito and then on to his son, the next emperor, currently Crown Prince Akihito. Now, originally, the religion of Japan had no name. That's because, like many religions in the world that were highly isolated, there was really no need for there to be a name because there was nothing else to compare to. It was simply the religion that the people believed and the religion that the people practiced. But then, in the 6th century AD, there were other religions that came to a Japan that was cracking the door open to the rest of the world, particularly religions that came from China and Korea, two countries that have had an enormous influence on Japan, and those religions being specifically Confucianism and Buddhism. As Confucianism and Buddhism made inroads into Japanese life and culture, Shintoism took on a name and took on a definition that distinguished it from these other religions. But also, about that time, in the 6th century, there was the marking of the decline of Shintoism. As fewer and fewer practiced the old ways of the religion of Japan, and that period of decline lasted for 1,000 years. But then there came a revival to Shintoism, beginning in the year 1600 and lasting until 1867, a period of 267 years, the Tokugawa period of Japanese history, which was a period that was highly isolationist. And so when we see even now movies or read books about Japan, we recognize that during that era, the Japanese government and the Japanese people sought to be very Japanese, so much so that they sought to exclude all other religions. They sought to eliminate trade with any other countries. They sought to do away with anything that was foreign in terms of influence and even disallowed foreign tourists to come to the country of Japan. Isolationism that emphasized that Japan was for the Japanese and for no one else and elevated all that was Japanese. That, of course, made for a marvelous revival, at least to a Japanese way of thinking, of Shintoism, because Shintoism is such a uniquely Japanese religion. But then in the late 1800s, the world began to change. It was increasingly difficult to be isolationist in the international setting of the end of the 19th century. Commodore Perry came to the islands of Japan with his warships and declared that Japan would open up Japanese trade to the rest of the world. And with the opening up of Japanese trade came a flood of all kinds of influences that came in. And Japan began on really a comparatively fast track to catch up with the rest of the world, to catch up in ideas, to catch up in technology, in a way that may seem strange if we talk about catching up taking 100 years, but when you realize that Japan caught up in 100 years over things that for other civilizations and other countries took thousands of years, to the point that Japanese, with a sense of superiority and a sense of destiny to conquer the world, bombed Pearl Harbor and entered World War II and sought to control the Pacific Basin. With an absolute belief of invincibility, the absolute conviction that there was no other possibility except Japanese victory. You can imagine if that conviction was so great and ran so deep, what an enormous blow it was to the Japanese national ego and to the government, to the people, to lose World War II to the United States. And then, of all things, in 1946, to have the United States occupation forces under General Douglas MacArthur insist that Emperor Hirohito go on Japanese radio and admit to all his subjects that he is not divine. Unthinkable. It ran contrary to everything that they had believed and had been taught and was basic to Shintoism and to the Japanese way of life. An enormous blow, one that you might think would bring the end of Shintoism and many of its beliefs. And I suppose there is a sense in which it was a blow that was permanent and long-lasting in its effects. But we dare not think that the effects of Shintoism have in the least been eradicated from Japan, for they have extended far beyond the formal teachings and the formal beliefs of those who would strictly identify themselves as Shintoists. What does a Shintoist believe? Well, Hirata was a great Shinto scholar of the 18th century, and he is the one who taught that there are essentially, if you boil it all down and there are a great number of beliefs to be sifted out, there are essentially two basic beliefs to Shintoism. Number one, that Japan is the country of the gods. And number two, that the Japanese people are the descendants of the gods. And this Shinto believer and scholar and leader would say that all other Shinto teachings and believings or beliefs revolve around those two basic teachings, that Japan is the land of the gods and the Japanese people are the descendants of the gods. Because of that, Shintoism believes in the basic superiority of the country of Japan and of the Japanese people. That means then that all of the other lands and all of the other peoples of the world are different not just in degree, but are different in kind. That to be Japanese and to live in Japan is a difference in kind from all others. And therefore, Shintoism has historically taught that the Japanese people are superior to all others in courage and in intelligence and in a multitude of other ways. And one of the strange things that has happened is that for those who are students of comparative religion, how do you distinguish between the religion of Shintoism and Japanese nationalism? How do you see where concern for country and pride and nationality ends and religion begins? For example, at one point, and I don't know the current count, but at its peak, there were 110,000 Shinto shrines throughout the land of Japan. They all commemorate Japanese people and Japanese events, significant things that have happened in Japanese history and Japanese gods. And the people come to these shrines and they bring flowers and offerings and pray prayers. There are Shinto rituals that are there followed. And they may all seem rather strange to us as Americans and as Christians and as Westerners. Although there are those who have looked at Japanese Shintoism and American nationalism and put them side by side from an outsider's perspective and said that there are enormous similarities. For outsiders look at America and say, well, you have your shrines. You have them all over. You have the Alamo in Texas, and you have Gettysburg in Pennsylvania, and you have all those shrines in Washington that commemorate your great heroes of Washington and Lincoln and Jefferson. You have your special day, you call it Memorial Day, when you go to the cemeteries and you bring your offerings of flowers and you commemorate, if not worship, the memory of your ancestors. And so there are those who say that there is not a great deal of difference between American civil and national religion and the beliefs and the practices of the Shintoists. The word Shinto comes from two Chinese words, Shen Tao, which means the way of the gods. And so in Shinto theology, it will be said that Shintoism seeks to relate everything to the gods. Now, there's an interesting word spelled K-A-M-I, Kamai, which even Shinto scholars apparently have difficulty defining, but it's a notion that gods and spirits are present in all of nature, both in animate and in inanimate objects. That there are lots of gods, but that Kamai extends beyond just the gods to actually you and to me and all kinds of objects and all of life in general. It is this extreme nationalism, a high sense of Japanese culture and history and pride, a sense that the mountains and the country are specially created by the gods, a sense that the gods are in and of everything, that comes together into the actual practice of Shintoism, which varies from sect to sect. For Shintoism, like Christianity and all other world religions, has its own denominations and its subdivisions. And there are those who would call themselves state Shintoists or secular Shintoists who would say it's primarily a matter of nationalism. And then there are those who would identify themselves more as religious Shintoists. But in either case, they go to the shrines, public and private, many of them in homes. And here one meditates upon the god or the person who is being remembered or the event. There is brought an offering that includes food and beverage. There are prayers that are prayed. And then there is a clap that indicates a communication between the worshiper and the one that is being worshipped, an expression of communication to the god or the ancestor. And how does all this compare to the Christianity which we profess to believe from the pages of Scripture? Well, to be sure, biblical Christianity is at great variance to Shintoism. The Bible by no means calls the Japanese people God's chosen people. In fact, if you read the Bible through, you will quickly discover that Japan and the Japanese are never mentioned in Old Testament or New, any more than the United States and Americans are mentioned in Old Testament or New, that the chosen people of God in the Old Testament were the Hebrew people, the nation of Israel. But that they were chosen of God not to be superior to everyone else, but rather to be God's representatives in the world, in the communication of His truth and the communication of His grace. In the New Testament, even that distinction breaks down, as in Galatians 3:28, Paul writes that there's neither Jew nor Greek. And one might add in there, Oriental or Occidental, Japanese or American, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So the Scripture clearly teaches, and as Christians we believe, that ethnic origin, that citizenship in a country, is not what matters. What really matters is belonging to Jesus Christ. Belonging to Him transcends every other possible distinction, and that is what matters in issues of life and death and eternity. With Shintoism, there comes a great pride in being a Shintoist, but more specifically, a great pride in being Japanese. A pride which, like any other national pride or any other sinful pride, is clearly condemned in Scripture, for we are called upon not to be prideful sinners, but to be humble servants who recognize that we are sinners, sinners who are in desperate need of the grace of God. Shintoism teaches at its core that people are good and that people are of divine origin, that the Japanese people are all descendants of the gods and therefore have a sense of divinity, a spark of divinity in each one. And yet the Bible teaches that everybody, including Japanese, are sinners and that we are not divine. Now, all of this comes to something of a question and a struggle of the relationship between commitment to country and religion. I believe personally that patriotism is fine and is good and is appropriate. I believe that every person ought to love and be loyal to his or to her country. But when patriotism moves over to become nationalism, it becomes a sin for the Japanese Shintoist and a sin for the American Christian. There are those who say, and I hear them say, that America is the best country that there is in the world, and American people are the very best of people, that we are God's specially chosen, and we are therefore better than others because we have been selected by God. That is not the Christianity that the New Testament teaches. In America, we have at times struggled, and I think even now in our country continue to struggle, with where our religion and where our nationalism blur one over the other. I'll tell you candidly that I have something of a struggle with the fact that we have an American flag that stands here on the platform behind me, not because I am anything short of being an American patriot, but that there is a distinction between the primary purpose that joins us here together in the worship of Jesus Christ who died on the cross and the representative of a national representation of a national government that is only one of many that we as Christians might pledge allegiance to. In fact, there may be some frightening parallels between the influence and effect of Shintoism on the Japanese and chauvinistic nationalism on us as American Christians. There's a most unusual and interesting feature, at least I find it fascinating, to the Japanese and to Shintoism, something not so far mentioned, and that is that many, in fact, I suppose most, Shintoists are also Buddhists at the same time. And there's a saying that the Japanese have, and that is that in life one is a Shintoist, but at death one is a Buddhist. That throughout your life you may go to the Shinto priests and the Shinto shrines, but when you're going to die or when your relatives die, it is then that you turn to the Buddhist priests and go to the Buddhist temple. Now, how can that be? How can people switch so readily between one religion and another? And specifically, what do Buddhists believe and how does that all fit in? You're right. Come back next Sunday night and we'll talk about Buddhists. Tonight, though, we switch our gears as far to the other extreme as we can, not to focus upon a country or upon some false gods, but rather to focus upon the true God and to focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have come to worship Him. We have already sung His praises. We have said in our declarations that we believe that He is superior to all others, that He is the greatest of all, and that His name is above every name. And we've come to offer ourselves at this table that is before us, offer ourselves to Him, to remember what He did, to remember what He did in His incarnation when He stepped down from heaven's glories to take on human flesh, and then to die on the cross, to shed His blood, an awful thing, a wonderful thing, all for our salvation and redemption, not so that we can be Japanese or American or Jew or Gentile, but so that we can be His, followers of Jesus Christ. And so we come to the communion table and to its elements to declare that we are Christians and to declare our loyalty to Him. In preparation for that, will you turn with me to hymn number 255 as we sing all four stanzas of the familiar hymn, Down at the Cross. And let's stand.